It's an honor to have you burp on the mic.
All right.
The next guest will appreciate it.
I'm excited, as you can tell. My guts are doing tentative dozen.
Olivia, are you ready to find out your test results?
I am.
What do you think it's going to be? Give a guess.
I think it'll be a little bit older than I am.
Olivia Atwood, your biological age is... Hello and welcome to What's My Age Again? I'm Catherine Ryan, and this is the podcast that asks, how old are you? How old is that body? And what do you do to feel young? Our guests on this pod span the decades, and this week we have a guest from the younger end, the TV documentary maker and podcaster, Olivia Atwood. She's 33 years old, but is she really? On this podcast, all our guests have taken a biological age test to find out how old their body is and how it compares to their chronological age, which we reveal later on this show. Olivia first came to public attention on Love Island. Before that, she worked as a motorsport grid girl, just like me. No. And more recently, she's been making hugely successful TV. Married to footballer Bradley Dack, she's known in the business for working really hard. Is that work ethic taking a toll on her body? Doesn't look like it, but we're going to find out. As always, we'll be joined by Dr. Nicola Conlin, our resident scientist, to interpret the results later on. Olivia, welcome to What's My Age Again?
Thanks for having me.
And I know your age.
You do.
It's 33.
It's nice, isn't it, having a little double digit.
Like a baby.
Do you think?
Still dripping with placenta, you are.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
It's weird, though, because I feel... I'm really jumping to the whole podcast.
Do it.
Yeah, I'm going right in.
You're on a schedule.
When I'm around people that are like 20, 21, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, look at us in our 20s. I just feel, I don't feel that. I have no connection to that age.
That's fair enough. And I do the same. I talk about when I was in my 20s and I had my daughter and I call myself a teen mom all the time. I was just a teen mom. No, Catherine, you were 25.
Yeah, but it's that... That's a teen pregnancy to me. I mean, I feel like I'd be a teen mom now.
So you feel very much locked into your 20s.
I guess being in my 30s, if I'm being completely real about this, has been my favorite age.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm the happiest I've ever been. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm going to learn I'm the healthiest I've ever been. I should be the healthiest because I was the way I lived for like my 20s is very remarkable that I'm here. And I just think there's something about the 20s are chaos.
Yeah.
Like, they're fun, but there's no... Anyone that thinks they've got it worked out in their 20s, you haven't.
Sorry. I agree that you would be hitting the jackpot if you came out of today, growing older, really leaning into your success and the wonderful happiness that you have now with your husband, but with a young biological age. That is the dream.
Yeah.
Because you gain so much wisdom.
I feel like, now it's like I would like to stick around. I'd like to live. Like when I was in my 20s, I was like, people trying to live longer, weird.
Yeah.
Why? It sucks here.
Oh, I know.
And like, what for?
My mother would say to all my girlfriends, we'd be tanning by the pool. And she'd be like, you think you won't care what you look like at 40? You will.
I know.
We do.
The sun thing is weird. The sun thing, my mum looks fucking phenomenal for her age. And she never put her face in the sun, ever.
Good.
And I always just think, you're such a loser. Like, look at you, that massive hat. It looks like a UFO. And, dodging the sun. And now that's me. Yeah. I've gone one step further. I wear a visor.
It's beekeeper holiday.
Yeah. I don't want to be in the sun for any reason.
You got your bits out all long enough. That wouldn't have really flown on Love Island, though. Can you imagine?
Me. Just like,
covered up.
I remember we didn't have, I saw actually on the All Stars, some of the girls had cowboy hats and stuff. We weren't allowed hats.
No.
There was even a time when they really didn't like us wearing sunglasses when we were having chats because they want to see your eyes, you know? So yeah, they were Love Island and sun health are not very adjacent.
No, I have to say that, of course, I first was introduced to you on that. I've seen so many of your very successful projects since, but I was distracted by the lack of sun safety.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're old. I watch these young women and I see the body, the like glistening oil. I'm watching like teenagers get off with each other for some reason as a 40-year-old woman with my husband. But all I'm thinking of is that looks like it could be melanoma. You know what I mean? I'm really distracted.
No, it's bad. Like just burning. I honestly don't think I wore sun cream the whole time.
You didn't. I was dialed into that. So you feel young. You identify as 20.
Yeah.
You're married.
Yeah. Do you feel identified with that?
No. Has it aged you? Because I introduced, in your intro, I said you're married to a footballer. Mm. That's the first I learned that he was a sportsman. I thought he was just like a decorative house husband.
Oh, he'll love to hear that.
Like mine. So he's a footballer? You married a footballer on purpose?
Yeah.
That must be stressful.
Yeah, it's kind of like an extreme sport in itself, looking that in. I wouldn't recommend anyone genuinely to like date an athlete of any description, because I think there's a lot that comes with that that would age you quite severely. My athlete he's very relaxed. He's very low maintenance. He's brought a lot of calmness to my life. So I feel like my well-being and my health and everything, it's very aligned to our relationship, which I kind of... Yeah, I was like, give yourself some credit. And I will give myself credit where some things are due, but he has mellowed me out.
Right.
In a good way.
And do you think that's because he's very stupid? Because I think that I'm smarter than my husband and he doesn't talk a lot. I've been accused of interrupting him. And I'm like, I've done experiments. If I didn't speak, no one would speak.
This is really interesting.
Yeah.
Brad is intelligent, actually.
Yeah, in his own way.
When you peel it back. But he's quiet.
Yeah.
And I think the least that straight men can do is shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You've done enough talking. Look at the state of things.
There have been enough wars.
This is enough.
You've
silence
made enough
now.
Decisions.
Silence.
Okay.
He's very, like, yeah, like you say with your husband, he's not, he, there's no like, oh, you know, he has to fight for attention. He doesn't want attention. He doesn't want to, which is great because I need it.
And they do say that about marrying an athlete or a man who's had a past. Chris Rock used to have material about when Tiger Woods went rogue and cheated on everyone, cheated on society, cheated on his wife.
Pathological.
He said, you have to ask a man, have you womanized?
Yeah.
Because if not, then they do it later on.
I couldn't roll a football in South London without hitting someone he slept with. And I take comfort in that because I feel like he exhausted himself.
Yeah.
I think he's good.
He's done.
I hope. You know, like we're not, you know, like we're still quite young, but he's lived.
Yeah.
I honestly fear for women who are like, oh, my husband's second sexual partner.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Because I'm like, at some point he's going to crack.
My husband's in tech.
Yeah.
He was a virgin till he was 28. Oh, don't get a nanny or a housekeeper or even a chicken in the backyard. Just be going for it. He will get a sexual awakening at one point.
Yeah, I'm like, OnlyFans, just check the email. He's on it.
So you've got a calming romantic presence at home, but your career, I think, I mean, from my personal perspective, you've always been very successful straight out the gate, but it's gone stratospheric now. But while you say you feel very connected to 20-year-olds and you feel young, do you think that having such a big career sort of makes you feel more grown up? Like you couldn't have achieved that much at 20.
No, I wouldn't have achieved. I wasn't achieving anything. I made a real big point of achieving nothing for the longest time. I didn't think I was good at anything. So I didn't have any direction to like, I didn't feel connected to anything. And it was like when people had things they wanted to do and things they wanted to be when they grow up. I was like, God, that was so weird to me. So I think when after Love Island, when I got this bug for television and then I felt like I was good at it, I've been chasing it in a kind of slightly like crazy way, but also it's been organic in its growth. But like you get it. Our industry, while it's like, it's such a privilege to do this job and I'm never going to sit and be like, oh my God, my life is like, you know, so hard and stressful. Like I'd say for your nervous system, it's slightly unsettling.
Okay.
You know, like just the being on like jazz hands and social media and being under like human inspection, I think it drains your nervous system. But I think that's a small price to pay for what is a very lovely, fun job.
So I don't feel that way because I have a disorder where I just don't give a single fuck about
anything. And is that a prescription? Would you have a recommendation?
I think it's like a new neurodivergence that is rarely spoken about. Mm-hmm. I just have a very, very calm...
That's a good way to be.
Vagus nerve or whatever it's called. But you have spoken about stress before and how that affects you. So like walk me through the Olivia Atwood stress level. Like what freaks you out? What do these stress episodes look like?
So is very typical of ADHD.
Oh, you have ADHD. Mm. Oh, yeah.
I have ADHD.
And thanks for speaking about that.
Yeah.
Because my daughter was recently diagnosed with ADHD, although I do think hers is environmental. It's like exclusively, there's a new generation that have like TikTok ADHD.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And I think when someone like you speaks about that, it just shows that you can be very dynamic with ADHD. Yeah. You have your hands in a lot of different projects.
It doesn't define anything. But there's things that I know that I'm genetically not wired to be efficient at. So there's things I do to take steps.
Right.
Like my house is never a mess because I really psychotically overcompensate because I know that I have the tendency to lose things. So there's things you can do to kind of manage your life. And I think that was the biggest thing about getting diagnosed was like, okay, this now makes sense. And now I can do things to make it easier to cope, not more difficult.
So that's why you hoover when you get in from the bar, not because you also have undiagnosed OCD.
No, I don't think I'm OCD.
Just tidy, busy.
I like things in their place.
Fine.
And if they aren't, well, so with terms of stress, it's really common people with ADHD and a lot of neurodiversities actually to be, I'm very calm when things are actually bad and when we have a crisis or it's like an emergency situation, I'm calm, I can delegate. But then something really small when I feel like I'm at the tipping point of like my nervous system when I'm like overtired, probably haven't eaten enough, had too much caffeine, and something just ticks me over the edge, like, you know, knocking a glass of water over or you can't get your key out the door. And then I'm like that lunatic who's like screaming and like rattling the door and the neighbor's like, oh my God. So that's how I display stress. And then Brad's always like, this is insane to me because you're so calm when X, Y, Z was happening, but now look at you. So that's how it happens. Mm. And I'm not quite open about the fact that over the years I've done therapy, I dip in and out of it. And he's always like, you know, you have to catch yourself before you go to screaming because it's so unhealthy for you to like go blackout stressed. You need to catch.
Yeah.
But it's easier said than done, isn't it? Because also when you're in the moment, you kind of go blind with it. And my blood pressure goes through, my heart is racing and everything just goes kind of white noise. And then later in the day, I'll kind of go, that was so stupid to get so upset over that.
So you can feel those physiological symptoms.
I know that I'm literally taking years off my life. I know I'm doing it. I can feel it. It's like, and I've started, since I got back into therapy, I've started getting a bit better of things like, okay, if you're stuck in traffic and you're going to be late, I hate being late.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's not the end of the world. Rather than sitting in the car, having an internal meltdown, making yourself probably ill and old and everything, like, I can't do anything about this.
Yeah.
It's not in my control, which is tough.
It's a great mindset because people will know to tell themselves, don't stress, you're going to make yourself ill. But I think if more people said, don't stress, you're going to make yourself old. So what are the top things that stress you out then? We have gridlock traffic, key stuck in the door.
Mm. Dog barking.
Mm. Your dog or any dog?
My dog.
Okay.
Because I've got one of my dogs, the rescue, they're both rescues actually. She's a shepherd. And the bark is literally like nails on a chalkboard. It goes through my bones. It's so loud. I mean, obviously it's like, she's a shepherd and that's what they were bred to protect. And I just can't remember, she's just doing what she thinks is her job. Although we didn't hire her for that. She self-appointed herself. I'm like, you are literally just here to like chill.
You're retired.
You're not on a job. And she's like, I'm on a job.
Right.
She's like,
but that shows you're a really good dog mom.
Yeah.
Because they say when human babies cry, goes through a mother's blood.
Yeah.
Like you can't ignore it because nature doesn't want you to ignore it because obviously the baby needs something. So you're just a good rescue dog mom.
Maybe. But the things like that, when you say, they're all like little problems in the grand scheme of life. But I think when I'm overstimulated, I'm tired, I let something like that be my catalyst for treat myself to a little menti bee.
So do you feel like since you learn these coping mechanisms, maybe it will be reflected in your biological age? Or do you think you did too much damage in your 20s? What's your, like, prediction?
I feel like I'm getting better with the stress. I wear one of those aura rings quite a lot. And quite often mine is like, you know, bitch, breathe. And it also helps with tells you how you slept, recovery. Because there's things like, you know, if you go to bed stressed out, scrolling your phone, emailing someone, you don't go into as many sleep cycles. And then all that is contributed to your biological age.
It is.
Do you sleep well?
I don't, but that's because I have small children waking me up in the night.
Okay, fine.
Just trying to play. 3 a.m. I'm like, ask your father. I'm a fucking celebrity. What are you doing? Don't address me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't slept in 4 years.
But do they always want you?
Yeah. Mm. They do. Because I'm a professional entertainer.
Yeah. Well, why not? If you've got it on deck at home, they're like, stand up now.
Not that much anymore. Like the catalog is waning. They do say that having babies ages you in a way. Getting married, ages. There are decisions women can make that just take years off your life. And we know this. Literally like that octopus documentary. Yeah. When the lady octopus is really cool, she has a great life, and she has kids and they eat her and she dies. That is me. I connect with that character.
Or the flamingos that lose their pink.
Yeah, I've lost my pink, Olivia. Yeah. I've lost my voice. I've lost my ass. I've lost my pink. I've had to delay the facelift of my dreams.
Why? Oh, just because...
I kind of want to have another baby and it's just wasted because I gain like 4 stone in my neck. With every pregnant, I get pregnant in the throat like a tropical frog. It's really not good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm existentially rewarded, but I look like on an economy flight to Aberdeen with the neck pillow.
I'm dead. Okay, so yeah, do wait then.
So you and I love not getting cosmetic surgery per se, because I think you probably get, not accused, but people speculate that you've had way more done than you have, because that's what they do. People, number one, don't understand lip injections or Botox. And on Love Island, I think especially you're a target for people going, well, she's had everything done. Mm. But I loved the doc where, even though you haven't had that much done, you like dig into it. Tell me what that was like.
Like you said, I love anything cosmetic, surgery, aesthetics related. I'm fascinated by it. I think if I could have applied myself in any way in school, it could have been a career for me. I love it. I think being literally in theatre next to surgery, I think it's the most fascinating thing.
Can you describe the smell?
There's no smell of like a cut open body. The smell is when they cauterize flesh. So they use this tool to kind of basically deaden the blood vessels to stop them from hemorrhaging. So basically like frying, and that smell is like, I can't even explain how bad it is. It's horrendous. And it's really carcinogenic as well to breathe in. So you often make sure you've got a double mask on because the fume of burning flesh is really bad.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It smells different from burning anything in the kitchen.
Yeah. There's nothing that you've smelt that's really the same. It's weird though, because I remember the first couple of surgeries I did where they were doing a lot of cauterizing. So like a breast, where something where there's like a lot of open tissue. So like a breast uplift and it's kind of all open. They're having to like caught it. The smell is, I was like, oh my God, I don't even know if I can stay in here for the whole thing. But then when I had like 5 or 6 surgeries, I even became quite immune to it. You quite quickly don't notice it.
Sensory adaptation.
Yeah.
Different boobs smell different.
No, everything smells the same. Even when they did a facelift and they were cauterizing along her hairline, it's like, yeah, it all smells the same.
And they always cauterize.
Yes. So as soon as they've cut, you know, because I always wondered that actually. And that was one of the things, like, when soon as they've cut the flesh, I'm like, how does someone not just bleed out? Because if you just cut your arm, you just bleed. So that's how they cut you. And then they basically make sure it's all like fried.
Okay.
So then they can work without you bleeding.
Sure.
So it's a really important step. It just smells horrendous. How did we get onto cooked flesh? It's going to be like very...
well,
what's the guy that cooks everyone in his apartment?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Dahmer vibes. I've done stuff. Obviously, on Love Island, I had this like baby face. I was in my early 20s. I'd had nothing done. I was just out there cooking myself in the sun. So obviously, there's like, I'm not going to bullshit and say I haven't done cosmetic stuff.
Uh-huh.
And there's stuff that I haven't specifically been like, I've done X, Y, Z. Because I also feel like I can be honest with you that I have done different things. Some things you know about, some things you don't know about. But what's difficult, as I think loads of people in our industry appreciate, when you get into specifics, it's really hard to move the conversation on. So it's like, I'll go on to GMB and be talking about, you know, the new dating show I'm hosting. And they're like, second question, you had a boob job in 2018. And I'm like, Yeah, that's not, so it's really hard. I want to be honest. So yeah. I'm honest by saying, yeah, if you think I've had something done, I might have done it. But I don't want to get into specifics with you right now because I want to be able to talk about other things.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, they love to hold on to it.
And
I
just
still get asked about Hooters. Did you work at Hooters?
Oh, Jesus.
20 years ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth? Yeah, I did. Yeah, I've done a few things since then, but let's talk about Hooters again.
Yeah.
So they love a plastic surgery story. They love it.
They love it. And that's the hard thing because it's like I don't think anyone is owes us their medical records.
No.
Like I think, you know, people go, well, they should disclose. I don't think that's dangerous. Yeah, it's a dangerous climate to get into. I think people should disclose as they want. What I don't like is people that lie and then go, oh, my face and my neck looks like this because I use this cream.
Yeah.
That person. Your face and neck look like that because you had a great surgeon, not because you use a cream.
I think that's very damaging as
well.
It's
not fair. I don't like that.
Kardashians should be held to full account for their
alleged cases. They are, yes. And I mean, God.
Yeah. Well, I was getting stuff before I was chasing youth. I was young getting filler and Botox because in North America, it was really normal to get a boob job, to get your lips done, and to get Botox. And I was never trying to look younger doing that stuff. I just wanted fuller lips. I wanted to have big, like, naughties.
That's a really fair point. I'd say I've only started to think about youth with procedures in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, you and people go, those big lips made you look older. It's like, well, fine. But I wasn't trying to look younger. I was trying to look like a sex doll. And I nailed it. So I didn't ask if I looked younger. Do you know what I mean? And I think a lot, like you said, a lot of the young girls, I think in these later series, we've seen girls with more and more injectables on Love Island. We are series, like, we were in there kind of raw dogging it in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
Now it's you see more injectables and people go, oh, they look so old. It's like, okay, but also I don't know if they care because they just wanted bigger lips and they wanted these sharp jaws and whatever. I don't think they ever, they didn't ask you how old you thought they looked. Do you know what I mean?
You're doing a lot of like regenerative procedures now, which is something I've turned to. You know, I can do less because of being pregnant all the time and breastfeeding. But I'm really interested in the things that might actually decrease your biological age, like the ice therapy, cryo thing. Did you do that? Or some hyperbaric chamber?
I was doing HBOT, like hyperbaric oxygen therapy over Christmas because I had a couple of little procedures and it's great for healing. And I was recommended into it. I've got done a whole of reading about the benefits of like HBOT, and unfortunately it's one of those things that's like it's not available on the NHS apart from very, very specific diseases. But I mean, the healing and the like for your brain, your cells, I mean, that is incredible. Like, the science is there, it's just not widely backed. That's incredible, and I saw a lot of benefits. And actually it's weird because Brad had been doing that for a while after he had surgery. So we were going in together and I was like, now I can lock him into a pressurized tank with me for an hour and you can't get out until the hour's up. So
the admin.
Shall we talk about our relationship while he's like up against the glass? And depressurize it.
It's oxygen?
It's literally oxygen. And it's put in such pressure that I'm not going to do the numbers, so now I'll get it wrong. But the rate at which we absorb oxygen, it's like, 100% more is pushing oxygen into your cells. Nothing else in it, nothing artificial. It's just the oxygen we breathe, but absorbing it at like a hugely accelerated rate. So if you're going to have surgery, doing some of that before and after, game changer. In LA.
And if you're not having surgery, can you do it?
Just better. Yeah, good for like anti-aging, good for health, good for autoimmune. In LA, all the top surgeons I interviewed, they're putting their patients into that, like the day they come out of surgery. And you literally see the bruising like disappear while the person's in there. Is insane.
So you've got rescue animals and I have the opposite. I have like very curated designer dogs
and a cat now, right?
And a cat and a designer cat who's like riddled with health issues, but because they're designer dogs, they're very sick,
of course.
And my dog Meg Ryan, she is a teacup shih tzu. She's like a rat, like one of those dogs that just shivers and pisses from its eyes, And every time she has a pulmonary incident, which is often, It cost me like $5,000 and she's got to be blue lit to the pap. So I got her a little nebulizer tent. So I got a little oxygen machine. Yeah, online. And she's only little, so it's like this tent. And I put her in it to sleep every night. And I crank it up.
And has it helped her?
It has helped her massively.
That's the most insane thing I've ever heard, but also the best thing I've ever heard.
But Megan's kind of doing what you're doing.
Megan in the tent. What an icon. Yeah. She's a star.
She's just a very cross-eyed shih tzu. But I feel, especially what you're telling me, that I should stick my head in there every few nights. And
I would get in there with Megan. Mm-hmm. Get her to the side. Get the head in there. Get a bit of the oxygen going.
I'm also very interested in polynucleotide. Yeah. That's another like low impact. It's not surgery. It's like a... But what worries me, people are getting it injected in amino acids, like under their eyes, just to vitalize the skin. Mm. But then someone told me it's salmon sperm.
Yeah, it is.
And, well, I also saw a study that this, maybe this was just a religious group pushing this propaganda, but it said that if you come into contact with any sperm in your life, it lives in you forever. Like it lives in your eyeballs. It becomes part of your DNA. So I got enough like exes in the past, enemies. I don't really know if I want to be adding like fish to the mix, like random salmon. How do you feel about that?
I feel like a salmon is way more high caliber than some of my exes.
Same.
So I'm fine with the salmon.
Yeah.
I'm just digesting that information you just gave me because that's horrifying.
But have you heard that?
No. That's why I'm so quiet. I'm just thinking about it. The salmon are in a special farm. I think it's in Italy, one of them.
Okay.
And they actually, I don't know how to say this, they wank off the salmon.
Who does?
I don't know.
The Italians.
This salmon wanking lady. We were going to go to the farm for one of the Price Perfection documentaries, but we just, scheduling, whatever, we couldn't make it work. I was devastated. But yeah, they farm this special salmon and then they take the semen. And that's what they inject. And that's what that is, polynucleotides.
Well, hopefully
there are a vegan version on the market, but apparently it's in clinical trials. It hasn't performed as well.
It won't. No, we don't want the vegan
sperm. It's the same as like, you know, the vegan sausage. It looks the same. Yeah. It tastes it the same-ish, but we it's not the same.
The authentic wanked off on salmon. OnlyFans.
Yeah, we want
upload that content.
We want the wank salmon. So the polynucleotide science has been around forever,
yeah,
like 30 odd years, and now it's coming into cosmetic. You know, we see it more and more. It's one of these things, right? That's like, I think it's too early to know how, because it's very expensive as well. But I'm at this point where I'm just like throwing everything at the wall and let's see what sticks.
Because do you think that youth is rewarded in our industry and then? Would you worry if, because you obviously look very young and beautiful, but do you think that it would impact your career if you started to look older?
It's a funny one.
Yeah.
It's a thing I have, a conversation I have in my head quite a lot that I think sometimes I'm holding myself to a standard that actually no one else is even holding me to.
No, it's nice that you're beautiful. You know, I really enjoy your social media. It's just like a little treat for me. Your little legs. But you are diversifying because you're on Loose Women sometimes.
This is the thing, what's what I say. I feel like what I have to remind myself is that I've actually managed some fucking how to diversify into a way where people actually enjoy what I have to say now. I'm like, you're not a monster girl in a bikini who's mute. Like, there's more to you than that. I think the Instagram side of things and where I'm still trying to like identify with my like, Gen Z followers, and I feel like I need to look hot for them to like respect me, little shits.
Yeah.
There's that sort of pressure sometimes. But then if I think about the broadcasting side of my job, it's like there's all these amazing women I look up to who look fantastic, but they're not slaves to cosmetic surgery. And, you know, they look their age, but they look fucking great. And they're not worried. They're not spending excessive amount of time looking in the mirror because they're like, I'm smart. I'm accomplished. I know what I bring to the table. And it's not, you know, it's more than a smooth face.
So what kind of old lady do you envisage yourself being? Because I can't see you dialing it back at all.
No, I want to be like Jane Fonda. Yeah. I want to have the great work done.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to be like, ooh, like, you know, that's a shame. I want them to be like, okay, yeah, she's obviously had work done, but she looks fucking great. And I wouldn't care to look like I had work done. That doesn't bother me.
Me neither. Should we talk about your sex industry doc?
Yeah,
I
didn't know. I thought you were going to say I don't know, sex something.
Should we talk about your sex life and how that keeps you young?
It'll be a short conversation, I think.
I know all about your sex life already. Is that you spend your life running, hiding around your home from this like predatory husband who wants it every day.
Do you know what's the problem, I think, with having, he's young, he's a couple of years younger than me, and there's another thing with athletes. I think the healthier they are, like the hornier they are. Like his libido is, he's just ready. His testosterone is through the roof.
And you're absolutely right about that, because testosterone starts to decline quite sharply after 35. And that's why men lose. Yeah. Maybe accelerate that. Get him out of the hyperbaric chamber.
He's too healthy.
They lose motivation. They lose sexual interest, obviously. They get a little bit fatter. And there are a lot of older men taking testosterone replacement therapy. So just don't tell Brad about that when the time comes.
Okay, noted.
There should be a gradual end. What did some of the sex work content creators have to say to you about aging?
Oh, God, you know what? Real mixed bag. Because this series three that's out now, we did an episode on MILFs and GILFs.
Yeah.
So we're looking at women who are, you know, in the sort of, well, anything from 40s to like 70s, who are monetizing the fact that they're older, and that is their niche, and they're not shying away from, they're leaning into the fact that they are older and they've got wrinkles and they've got loose skin, because, you know, there is a market out there of men that get off on that. So that was really interesting and refreshing, because I kind of thought it's interesting that we all perceive that there's one type of woman that's attractive, and that's what we tell ourselves, society tells us. And actually, we learn that's not true. Because when I met the OnlyFans girls who are younger, in their early, like late 20s, early 30s, whatever, a lot of them spoke to me about the pressure they feel to be, you know, the hottest, like with the boobs and the tiny waist. And you know, they feel like there's girls coming, unfortunately, there's girls coming onto these apps now, you know, 19, 20, 21, it's really like babies. And they're like, you know, how can I compete against, you know, this? But actually what, you know, what you see is that you just kind of have to own whatever era you are in.
Yeah.
And someone is going to be into it.
You diversify. Though, I think I'd rather be the hot girl than the niche.
For sure.
It's a bit hurtful to be like, I'm into the GILF category. It gets searched a lot less than college teen. I'm absolutely.
It does, but you wouldn't be surprised. You'd be surprised, how close behind it is.
I'm going to talk to you about family and marriage, which is always my favorite, getting into your life. So your parents are the genetic blueprint for how you will age.
Go on then, talk to me about my parents.
Well, I was going to talk about your mother because she's very beautiful. I've seen her on the reality show that you had.
She drinks the blood of her daughters to revitalize herself.
What was it like having a hot mom on the school run?
Tough.
Yeah.
But I was very aware of looks and like the social currency of what you look like from a young age. My mum was a model for like a large part of her 20s and up until she met my dad. She was, is beautiful. Yeah. And, you know, my mum was always quite talked about the way people looked, just like quite matter of factly. Like she's quite like, you know, she's beautiful. She's ugly. It's fine to say that. And I'm like, you know. And I'm like, oh, you know my friend, Bianca? She's like, yeah, nose like a pig. I'm like, but, so she was always, and it kind of, that's her humor as well. But that would kind of made me have thicker skin.
But being from that industry, and if we grew up in a toxic generation, our mothers grew up in the most
horrible
place.
Tough.
I had a flatmate from Poland. Her name was Catherine too. It was Katarzyna, but we were K-squared in the city.
I like Katarzyna.
I liked it. She is beautiful, was beautiful, but her mother would visit and I would knock around in my jogging pants. And she'd be like, what are you doing? You could meet husband in parking lot. And I was like, I'm 19, ma'am. Did she ever talk about like health or longevity, or was it always through the lens?
No, to be fair, my mum, like, I am now turning into my mother, because my mother was, I'm always just a mocker for it. Like I say, she was big on sun protection, staying out the sun, eating a good diet. She always had like a homeopathic remedy for everything, vitamins. Like my mum is still that person. My friends ring, if they're sick, they ring my mum and go, Jen, what should I take? And she'll go, I want you on 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C. I want you on echinacea. I'm like, you know, she's not a doctor. Like I have to let you know, everyone ringing her for advice. I'm like, if you get, something happens to you, we are not responsible. But she's very well versed and she would read a lot of stuff about health and longevity. She's been a big geek for it, and I think I've inherited that now.
And did she lean away from Western medicine? Like, were you guys vaccinated on schedule? Did you take a lot of antibiotics or
mixed bag? Like she would, like she was not like anti it at all. No. Like if we needed antibiotics, we would have them. But my dad is German, and in Germany, homeopath medicine,
yeah, I don't know,
is very normal.
Okay,
like you have a homeopath, and you would always go down the natural route before you take an antibiotic, yeah, for example. So I think that that influence from the German side influenced my mum a little bit and us. Like I say, it's not in place of, but they can work well together.
Is your father a hunk, would you say? How's he doing health-wise?
He's healthy.
Yeah.
My dad is of that generation. I mean, I don't know how you'd get him to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
He was once having... I need to get it right now. It wasn't a heart attack, but it was some kind of angina. He was having a sort of spasm in one of his heart. It was, you know, it could have been really serious. And his response to that was to put himself to bed for an hour and not tell anyone.
Oh, no.
So my mum found him and he was like sweating and you could barely breathe. And he was like, I was going to sleep it off. And my mum's like, you know, we can take you to a doctor. We have access to that. It's, you know, it's, he's very much, yes. My dad is healthy, you know, thank God, and he's always lived a relatively healthy lifestyle. I think the only thing with my dad, oh, he'll hate me saying this, but I don't care, he's German, they love beer.
Yeah,
they, you know, there's always a reason to drink in Germany from the age of like 12.
But I think genetically it doesn't impact some people as much as others. Like you see some people can smoke until they're 100 years old. If he's German, and maybe there's some built-in system for beer.
German relatives, we just lost my nan. Her siblings, so my nan, my great aunts, they've all made it to their late 90s.
Great.
Every single one of them has, I'd say moderately drinkers and smoked.
Yeah.
Every single, 90s. Every okay. single one. I mean, the math's not mathing. I might get back on the cigs. I don't know. I feel like there's something's not adding up here.
You're missing out.
Yeah. I'm like, they all, they've lived long, healthy lives.
Yeah.
And they were smoking when they were like 10 at the table.
I mean, a lot of it is down to genetics.
Yeah.
Do you think you and Brad will go the full distance?
Oh, my God, I don't know.
I'm not even sure about my own husband. I think I imagine myself in the future, and I always see myself having like a pied-à-terre in Marylebone because we moved a little bit out of London.
You talked to me about your London
and I
life.
See myself like going to theatre, and he's never there, but he does hate theatre, so.
It's a weird one. It's like, I do believe that I don't think I'd ever find anyone that loves me as much as Brad, genuinely. I don't think it's possible. And he's so lovely. I have no plans.
Yeah.
I'll do everything to make this marriage work. But I will caveat that with, like you say, I kind of have this vision that I'm going to have all these other lives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, when I have my life in Monaco on the boat, I'll do this. Or when I live on the ranch,
right,
like in Calgary. But it's like, well, no, bitch, you're 33 and you're married. So I don't know if you're going to, you know, you kind of, but we could have those lives together.
You could. Or it could just be like a little break, a holiday. Yeah. And Brad's at home with the dogs. And Bobby, maybe.
They're scared at playing golf.
They could golf. Yeah.
Yeah. They'd love that.
I know that you've spoken about kids, and Brad is a bit of an older soul. Like, he's more ready to have babies than you are.
Yeah.
Is that still fair to say?
Yeah.
What age do you view that coming into your life? Or is it possible that you're just going to keep having a career because it's very difficult to have both?
I know. Then that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have this theory, right, that, and the more I look at it, the more I support my own theory, I think that two things happen. You either have a child really quite young, like you did, and it just happens and you get on with it and that's fine. Or you get into your 30s and you have the house you want, you have the job you want, you have money and you have no kids and you're like, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would I, do you know what I mean? And obviously I get that there's a rewarding thing and there's a love and I know I want children, but I think there's a really hard thing of that you get attached to the selfishness of being in your 30s and you can do what you want, but you have money.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do anything on a Sunday with a little person if you don't want to. And I think that I'm scared to give it up. I'm the happiest I've ever been now, like in my life, me and Brad. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to change anything because this is so nice what we have.
Would you say 33 is your best year yet?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I really can say that for the first time in my life, like wholeheartedly. And probably kids would just enrich that.
No.
And I,
no. See, I feel like it's on the card. So I have asked, but I feel almost like demented asking a 33-year-old about having kids. To me, it feels really young right now, especially with everything that you're doing.
I mean, biologically, it's not, though.
But biologically, is everyone going to Fashion Week in New York? And biologically, is everyone presenting three different shows and like all these podcasts? You know, it just feels to me. If I was your manager, which in this moment I am, I'd be like, don't do it, Liv. Don't do it. Give us 4 more years minimum.
And then a couple more years enjoying what this is.
Well, I think what's crazier than you having a baby right now at 33 with all of the professional opportunities that you've got is anyone having a baby with a 31-year-old. Did you say he's 31?
Just, no, he's 30. He's 30.
Yeah, forget that. 30-year-old.
He's like 25. And also, let's be real, okay, Brad would love to have kids tomorrow because he knows his life won't really change that much, really. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll still go off and play his football games and go away for preseason and all this stuff. It's not a lot of the stuff in our household comes down on me.
Yeah.
Like he's a passenger on this train.
Yeah.
I'm driving. Do you know what I mean? And so that if I was him, of course I'd want to reproduce with me. It'd be great.
Of course.
I'm gonna hire my own nanny. Got my own cash to do it. Everything's gonna be sorted. I've got a schedule on the fridge. I've got a rota on online diary that we share that he never uploads his fucking schedule to. Like, yeah, it'd be great. What fun.
One of my favorite videos I saw on social media was a lot of school teachers are doing this microfeminism where they ring the dad.
I saw this.
They purposely ring the dad, and one of them rang the dad. She's like, you need to bring this to your daughter's school. And he goes, why aren't you calling my wife? She goes, well, I'm calling you and you need to bring this to the school. And he goes, fine. What school does she go to? It's like a 10-year-old child.
I think there's relationships where, like, if you've made an agreement and you know, that what you bring to the table, but I'm bringing too much.
Yeah, you're multitasking.
I am the fucking table, no, I'm joking.
But that's fine. And that may change because being a footballer, Bradley presumably has to retire.
He's literally geriatric. It's insane. So yeah, there's all things that come with that. And then there is an opportunity for him to be more of a Bobby and be more around. And, you know, and I will utilize that.
Yeah, so that might be the time to look at it. Do you think that will kind of transition him into an older man, a little less naughty retirement?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more like accountability. Brad's way of dealing with like a parking ticket is putting it in a drawer. I'm like, Jesus. Like, I find letters. I'm like, don't touch the post.
Yeah.
You're not qualified, obviously, to open it because we need to deal with things that come, not just hide them.
Does that make you feel older, being married to a man like that? Because you can't really be fancy free 20 if you're the one in charge of all the admin, the post.
There is an element of that. There's sometimes I have that thing. I'm like, imagine if I had gone for someone older who, because the thing is what you have to, and I'm not making excuses, but I'm gonna. There is a definitely like an reinforced incompetency with athletes. It doesn't matter what level you're at, even if you're at like, you know, a very low level, it's very much everyone does everything for you. You get pulled out of school young. So the things that we all learn when we go through our different jobs, and I worked in a bar and I worked in a hairdresser's and I lived here and lived there, they don't learn any of that stuff. Yeah. So I kind of realized that when Brad and I first started dating seriously, that quite a lot of that, the small life things that I had just learned along the years, he hadn't.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, what do you do when you get a letter like this? And he's like, just give it to the club secretary. And because that's what they do. They just go and they put it on her desk and she deals with it. Yeah.
God bless the club secretary.
Oh, my God. Like, well, also God bless her, but she's made an absolute rod for my back because now it's like, I am the club secretary.
Yeah.
I am her. I just have a desk. But yeah, so there's, you know, I could have dated someone older who, you know, had life experience, and they would, you know, go, oh, Olivia, don't worry. I know how to set up the, you know, the life insurance. I know to do all this stuff. But then I just don't know I think my soul is young and the fun we have together. I don't think I could have that fun with an old fart.
Yeah.
Like the way we laugh and the way we're like kids, you know, when I'm not doing his finances, we're like kids. I'm not doing his tax return. And I think I would crave that if I was with. I have friends that have married older, and there's so. Do you know what? I just think there's going to be advantages to any, you could look at any one relationship and go, I'd take that and that and that, but I wouldn't take that.
Yeah.
So I think you have to just, you would get what you've got and weigh it up, because if you think you're going to find everything in someone,
yeah,
you're not.
I think this is really going to come down to your biological age.
Yeah, I'm scared.
I know that you exercise.
Yeah.
I saw you talking about getting a glute pump at 5 a.m. before your wedding day. What is the exercise, beauty, and health regime? If you could give it to me in a nutshell, and I will not be following it.
So in simplistic terms,
yeah,
I resistance train 3 to 4 times a week. I try and lift heavier.
And that's really good for anti-aging, bone density.
Weightlifting is where it's at.
And when did you start doing that?
Years ago, like back when I was like, because I used to do pageants and stuff, and the girls would train like monsters. Because you, different to fashion modeling, if you're doing anything in swimwear, you need to like have, they're all stupidly slim, but you need to have a glue and you need to have some, you need to be strong. So, yeah, so I got into training way back then. And even though I was like a club rat and I was unhealthy and I smoked, I still trained in the gym. So it's something I've consistently done, to be fair, all through my adult life.
And you do this at home?
No, I go to a gym.
So you have a good routine. You're like going to
the
gym.
We had a house where we had like a small home gym set up. I need to go.
Yeah.
Like the thing of getting in the car with my coffee and going is like this, walking downstairs or into a garage. I don't know. It's like I end up lying on the floor scrolling my phone. Because also when you're not, you haven't got the accountability of other humans, it's like before I know it, I'm like picking a spot in the mirror or like, I don't know. It's like when other people are around me training, I feel like, okay, get on with it.
And so there's no one busier than you. So it's really not an excuse. I know a lot of people.
No, I do it at like 5:30 in the morning.
What? And do you worry about being famous in the gym?
No.
Nobody
approaches
you.
I'm not famous like that.
What are you famous like?
Like, that's like, I'm not like Kim Kardashian. Like, people aren't looking at me in the gym.
You might be a Kim Kardashian of the UK.
God, stop ruining it.
Keep up that glute pump.
No, what I would say to you is this, and if anyone listens to this who goes to my gym, I mean full offense. If you go at 5, no one's talking to anyone.
Okay.
Because people that go to gym that early are there to get shit done.
These are the serious.
So they don't give a fuck about what TV show. Yeah, they're fine. They are the self-loathers, I call them.
Okay.
We all hate ourselves. That's why we're there. Sometimes I will occasionally do like a mid-morning on like a Saturday or Sunday. That's when you'll get someone, normally men, it's never women, because women know that women don't like to talk in the gym. The people are more chatty, or they'll go, or people say nice things, they'll be like, oh, I follow you on Instagram, whatever. So that's in like what I call like, daylight hours. If you go early, no one wants to talk to you, and it's nice.
And you say that when you were younger, you did a lot of partying, but not now.
Mm.
So what does letting your hair down look like for you today?
So I still throw it down. Like, I'm not going to say like, it's funny with alcohol, because I can take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I take it, I want all of it. Like, I'm not interested in having a glass. I want the bottle. I'm the definition of like a bit of a binge drinker. I could go 2 or 3 months without having a drink easily. Yeah. Wouldn't bother me. But then I'll probably agree to drink on a night out with friends and I'll overdo it. My relationship with alcohol's changed, but I have a good relationship within the sense that like, I'm a good time to drink around.
Yeah.
Like 10 out of 10. No crying from me. No arguments.
Well, I think we're ready for some science. We're ready for the results.
I'm scared.
Are you scared?
Sorry. I just had a nervous. I didn't know what.
It's better out than in, like we said.
I actually just thought I was on my own podcast there for a second. I'm so, I've got way too comfortable.
You can burp on this podcast. It's an honor to have you burp on the mic.
All right.
The next guest will appreciate it.
I'm excited, as you can tell. My guts are doing 10 to a dozen.
Well, I mean, it looks all positive, but I am not the expert, so I'm going to invite Nicola in before we reveal your results. Olivia, are you ready to find out your test results?
I am.
I'm joined by Dr. Nicola Conlon. We are both wearing green dresses.
You are.
Nicola is a science woman, otherwise known as a scientist. And you can interpret the results for us, right? Right?
Absolutely. This feels very serious.
Yeah. I like to build the suspense.
The gold envelope.
Yeah. What do you think it's going to be? Give a guess.
I think it'll be a little bit older than I am.
On what grounds?
the fact that I can't hold it together when my key gets stuck in the door.
And the stress.
Yeah, and maybe the partying a little bit. We'll see if I've managed to undo any of that with my therapy. And
Olivia Atwood, your biological age is 20 years old. Very good. 13 years younger.
Oh, my God. Guys, is that good? Well, Nicola,
I mean, it's
good.
It goes without saying that is literally the lowest age you can get.
I could be like, I've won a competition.
Would you like to make a speech? Anyone you want to thank?
I want to thank
together.
My mother for the vitamins. Yeah, myself for my therapist. My husband probably.
Yeah, so I mean, it goes without saying this is a really, really good result to get it that young. And that is literally how old you are on the inside. So when you were talking earlier,
I feel like I'm 21.
Exactly what I was going to say.
So well.
And that is it. You know, you actually are that young on the inside. So your biological age is measuring how old you are on the inside at the cellular level. And many people don't realize they have this age as well. We're so focused on chronological age, but really it's how you feel. It's how you are on the inside. That's a really important bit. So your biological age matches how you feel.
That's amazing. I'm so happy.
And what do you think contributed to that? Like judging just from Olivia's lifestyle, because there were some party days, but she's curbed those. Mm. She's lifting weights.
How do you feel about drinking like the way I do? Is it better just to have the occasional binge?
Yeah, well, we know that it's about balance, okay? And I have to say, so you filled in a lifestyle questionnaire, so I could see like what you've been eating, what you've been drinking, how your stress is, things like that. And the key kind of takeaway from your questionnaire and the way that you live your life is I would say it's balance, really. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you certainly don't live like a complete saint. You know, you like the odd drink, you like a binge every now and again. I saw that, you do eat processed food, things like that. But then on the other side, you are really good with your sleep. You know, you're tracking it. You're really good with actually recognizing that you do have stress and doing something about it. You're exercising. Your diet, on the other hand, apart from the processed food, you're eating over 30 plants a week, which we know is really good. So I'd say it's about balance. And that's something that's really important, because so many people think to age well, you have to be living like a saint. You have to be doing, you know, blood from your younger children and, you know, all the crazy things. But actually, it's not. And you can live, but still be doing the right things to compensate. And it might have been interesting to do your biological age test when you were in your 20s. Mm. And I wonder if it might have been higher, because, you know, you said it was chaos.
You can repair cellular damage like that. So you can change your biological age.
Yeah, and this is the key thing about it, is it's reversible. No, absolutely not. It's reversible. I mean, you know, can't do anything about the chronological age, but the biological age, you actually can. And you really can, you know, make changes in your life. I mean, you don't need to, but it's really interesting that you can reverse it.
And what about the stress? Because you know,
how bad is stress?
Stuck in the door, yeah. What's that doing?
So stress is not good. So you mentioned earlier about the fact that, you know, people don't realize that getting stressed is actually aging them. And that's not a myth. You know, that's not like an old wives' tale. There's been studies done that have shown that people who have got particular types of stress, especially things like trauma or, you know, have had really difficult situations in their life, they on average are 15 years older than the chronological age. But in some of the studies where they do look at short-term stress, so when people have been, you know, really thrown into a stressful situation and then it's resolved, they literally can see the biological age go up and then it goes back down again. So it's not a long, it's not a long-term impact.
How long does it take to recover? So if you did a test on Olivia and it was a bad result that you didn't want, she'd come back after a year, 2 weeks?
You would be looking about 6 months plus. Okay. So it takes about that long for if you change anything. So if you started doing therapy or you started doing meditation or whatever to deal with stress, you would see a period where it would take a little bit of time to change, but then it would. So it's not like a quick two week turnaround.
So if someone had like a traumatic event, you could see like a spike and then it could go back down once
yeah.
you got over it.
Yeah, absolutely that. So, you know, talking about kids and things earlier, you can see pregnancy at the childbirth bit actually can make your biological age go up. So
this is why we're going to wait.
Not for the week, is it?
Jesus. But then it goes back down again. But there is a, yeah, and obviously, you know, for the body, pregnancy can be, and especially giving birth, is quite stressful.
And what do you think about these regenerative processes, like the hyperbaric chamber that Olivia mentioned?
So interesting that you said that, because not many people are talking about hyperbaric oxygen. And, you know, people think, how on earth can going and sitting and lying in a chamber really do anything to help? But it does. And the thing that you may not have realized is you were talking about it for recovery and, you know, healing, repair after exercise, things like that, which it is great for. But there are actually now studies that show it reverses biological age.
Wow.
So that
I could have knocked off a few doing those over Christmas.
You're
absolutely.
Three.
Yeah.
Right.
How often do you do it?
I've done like 10 1-hour sessions in total.
Yeah, so that's perfect, because that's
which
like
is the recommended course.
It is. That's exactly what I was going to say. Some people think, oh, I'll just go in at once and, you know, I'll reverse. But
well,
it's, if you do a course,
how much is it to get it in your house?
Those chambers are like 60,000. Whoa. Because I Googled it.
Right? You know.
Because you can get the tents that you have the dog on a bigger scale, but they just don't reach the same pressure. So that, you know, the pressure with this glass door and it goes zoom, and then it's like, that's the best you can buy. But
well, maybe it's like
more
a
than
good
that.
Investment, though.
I know.
Because a facelift is upwards.
I wonder if it's taxed. Yeah.
It should be. The NHS is absolutely.
And then I read
backwards.
This book when I was in there one day. The woman that runs this clinic, she's a retired doctor, and she's like, read this book. And I read like chapters of it over the course. And yeah, the science. It's really sad, actually, that it's not something that's available to people for more diseases, because I mean, it's incredible what you can do, like Alzheimer's. They actually study the brain, like heat coming back to life in areas when the oxygen's like penetrating it. This is all probably a little bit off left field for this podcast, but
not
it's so
all.
Interesting.
And this is it really is. It's so simple that people can't quite believe that it has such an effect.
Yeah, just breathing air.
It's just 100% pure oxygen.
Yeah.
Like we've got around 21% in the air. So you're putting way more oxygen in than you used to. And the pressurization is helping it force it into the cells.
So then do people who live in the country have a better biological age than people who breathe in fumes in the city?
Yeah. People that live next to close to green open spaces have a younger biological age than those in the city.
But it feels like Olivia's doing kind of the most effective known things at the minute, like the oxygen pressure and the weight lifting. How important is that?
Yeah.
Good for bone density. And
that's really good. But one slight thing that I did notice, so when we measure your biological age, it's not just one thing we measure. We measure about 29 different markers in the body, and that comes together to make the age. And one thing that was everything on you is like green, perfect, you know, the best. One thing that was slightly out was something to do with, it's a marker that sometimes we see in people that overtrain or overexercise.
Oh, she'll love that. She'll take that away. Like, honey, she'll go back home.
I just look at it. It's okay, go on. Is it like not recovering enough?
It is exactly that. So it's usually we see it in people that have a really intense exercise regime or athletes that do a lot of exercise.
It just
the shoe fits.
but mainly
I used to run track at school. You go on.
Well, mainly it's about recovery.
Okay.
And I know on your questionnaire, you also mentioned that you will train even when you don't feel like it. So even if you're not feeling your best, feeling a bit run down, you will be like, nope, I'm going to the gym. And I think that's the only thing I'd say, just to go back to that balance of making sure that if your body's not feeling it, to really just take a step back, because...
That's hard, isn't it?
How likely are you to do that, Olivia?
You know what it is? It's because it's that thing of like what's just like a bit of bone idleness, laziness, and what's actually like you need to rest.
Yeah.
I'm not good at resting. One thing my husband always says to me is like, you need to, I'm not good at just sitting and chilling.
Yeah.
I sit and then I'm up. So yeah, maybe I just need to do less.
But outside of biological health, working out is probably really good for your mental health too.
Yeah,
and you've got the lowest
feel...
result that you can. So I feel like
My God, I hope that no one beats me for the rest of the series. I hope everyone else is really unhealthy and has that check.
Yeah.
It's that competition.
We've got some real caners coming in.
Yeah, it's unreal. Okay, good. There's some real unhealthy ones through the door.
So is this going to change how you live your life? Could you go back to 20-year-old Olivia? What was she like?
No, because she didn't sleep at all. I didn't eat well. Mm. I did train in the gym. That's the only thing I did, really, like, just more out of vanity rather than, like, for health.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always upset and arguing with boyfriends, and I smoked, and everything was just awful. So, no, I couldn't go back to her.
Yeah.
But this just reinforced that I want to keep doing the things that I've been doing, and keep trying to stay calm and eat all my protein and my vegetables and sleep.
Because it is working.
It's working.
So on the Olivia vision board, I know you're going to be like an 80-year-old Jane Fonda. Now that you know that woman is still doing what you're doing now, going to be very biologically young, what does her day look like?
She gets up at 5.
Yeah.
She goes to the gym. Yeah, and then she comes back and she has her glam and then she goes to host her talk show. Yeah.
What's it called?
20 years old.
20 years old with Olivia Atwood, 80 years old.
Yeah.
More dogs.
She has a dog rescue that she just runs, just because she loves it.
Yeah.
There's loads of dogs. They're not barking. They've been trained to be mute. They're silent dogs. They actually sign language with their paws to each other.
You'd be so zen by then.
They'll be like, we need food.
Fashion.
I'm with the same husband, but maybe I've had a little fling with a pool boy or something. Maybe. Just to keep things spicy.
Yeah. Do you think that your husband's biological age is in line with yours? Will he be impressed?
I think he will. No, he thinks I'm quite neurotic about health. So I think he'll be like, well, yeah. I mean, you basically bankrupt us every month on supplements. Yeah. So.
But also with being an athlete, that could make a difference. That would be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if, like, you're the general lifestyle, you're eating the same things, you're doing the same things.
What, because you would expect his to be low as well?
Actually, maybe older.
Because of the strain.
Because of the strain on the body with constantly training. Now, interestingly, it seems to affect women more than men. So it's female athletes.
Like, and everything in life.
Of course. Why? Yeah. I didn't know. Oh, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's in, like, it doesn't suit us, our genetics as much, train that much.
Exercise in general seems to have more of an influence in women. So even the good side of it. So when they've looked at what exercise does to your biological age, in women who are regularly exercising, not too much, they tend to be about 10 years younger than the chronological age, whereas men, it's only about 5 or 6. But then it also goes the other way. If we overdo it, then it impacts us worse.
Well, that's something.
So you get, both
Are
ends.
You wearing an Aura ring?
I am wearing an Aura ring. I was interested that you brought that up. Sleep is,
By the doctor, scientist.
Yeah. But, you know, the tracking your sleep is great.
Yeah.
And another thing I was kind of expecting after looking at your questionnaire with all the stress and how you do suffer from stress to see a higher biological age. Mm. But the one thing that we tend to see is in people that have high stress, as long as they're getting good sleep, that kind of balances it out. So it could be that
Aura ring
sleep
has helped me get more sleep because I take it more seriously because it tells you if you're not, you need sleep more.
Yeah, data can be really motivating.
Yeah, to see it in black and white, like you need more sleep or you need more rest. If someone like me who doesn't know how to do either, I'm like, okay, I'll listen to the ring.
Yeah. And it measures the stress as well.
Yeah.
So it literally links stress levels and sleep.
Oh yeah, when I've had like a little paddy, I see that like that graph goes like,
because it can tell what your heart rate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was when my key was stuck in the door.
Well, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
If it's a contest between you and Brad, you've won.
Well, in more ways than what.
Can't get lower than 20. And you've erased all the motocross wild years, Monster Girl, whatever you called that.
Maybe
you've
didn't do as much damage as I thought.
No, you've erased the sun damage of Love Island.
I have. I'm down to the bone. They can't laser me anymore.
No.
We're on cartilage. But this is great. This makes so much sense. Yeah, I'm going to continue being friends with 20-year-olds. This is why we align.
This is good. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I've loved it.
Thank you for your insights.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, 20 years old.
Wow.
Thanks to my twin, Olivia Atwood, our fabulous guest on our podcast, What's My Age Again? If you want more Olivia, you can hear her on her own podcast, So Wrong It's Right, or you can watch her basically on all the television. Getting Filthy Rich on ITV.com is a strong recommend. Thank you so much for joining us. Please follow and subscribe to What's My Age Again wherever you listen or watch your podcasts.